Welcome to Mattis Avenue Free Methodist Church, where we worship God, make disciples of Jesus Christ, and serve our community and world. The following is a recorded message based on God's holy word. We would love to see you for our worship services on Sunday mornings. For more information, visit www.mattisav.org or call 217-355-5947. And may God bless you.
Well, good morning again. I know that our kids, a lot of them have stayed in with us today, and so I want to do something that we haven't done in a few weeks, maybe even over a year since the last time we did it, because we've been in this series of Beyond the Acts for almost 2 years now, which has been awesome. Today is the last official day of the series. Yeah, that's right. But as I reminded someone else this morning, you can still keep coming to church after this week. There's more to the Bible and to what God is doing. But to help the kids and to help the grown-ups who need help staying awake this morning, whenever I say the word acts, what I want you to respond with is, I am not just acting, right? With your finger in the air, like you are just declaring it to be true. I am not just acting. So let's try this as a practice run. Acts. There we go. All right. Good. We are finally here in the final verses of the book of Acts. There we go. Now, maybe God knew ahead of time that we would need a good foundation before we began this season with Pastor Sean and the Delacourts joining us, because the timing just seems to work really well with beginning what God is doing in this next season. But no matter what, we know that God does have great things in store, and we look forward to where God is taking us next as we continue to join the movement that we have been saturating in since July of 2023. Now, one of the foundations of this entire series has been Beyond the Acts. We've been reminded over and over again that this church thing that we're doing cannot just be something that we're showing up on Sundays and acting out. This must go beyond the acts. There we go. And must be a truth of our daily life. No, we are a community that seeks to go deeper than our world may naturally invite us to go on a regular basis. We do all of these things with the Holy Spirit that was sent by Jesus, who is the resurrected Son of God, in whose kingdom we acknowledge ourselves to be citizens. But we know that acting like Christians will not bring healing salvation. Acting as if we are those who are healed is not what will bring healing. There is truth to having a positive mindset. There's good in being an optimist. But the healing, the deep healing that Jesus desires for our lives, we cannot manufacture. But deeper than not acting in community is making sure that we're not acting in our relationship with God, in whom we've been reconciled through the death and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. I pray that we would all know what it means to abide in this growing intimacy with God as we know and experience ourselves as His beloved children who have been called out to live in expressions of His reign and rule for the purposes of His kingdom in humanity and in creation. We've been walking this road with Paul, and as we've seen the way that God's kingdom was spreading in communities throughout the known world, a lot was through Paul and his ministry, but a lot of it was just simply happening because God was transforming lives tangibly in communities, and it was a spreading thing. So what I want you to do for a moment this morning, just to kind of get our imaginations and our hearts in this kind of direction, think of a product or a practice that has changed your life for the better. Emma was great. I loved the enthusiasm that she shared with us this morning about the lazy river. But think about a product or a practice that has changed your life for the better. And I want to give you a moment to just share that with people around you. All right, so on your marks, get set, go. Right now, go ahead, do it where you are. It's okay. All right. Well done. For me, I would say coffee. Coffee is a product that has really improved my life for the better. Not because I'm addicted to caffeine. I make sure I go off it every once in a while just so I can survive. I just love the flavor of it. I love holding a hot drink and the real. Anyways, there's more to it. We'll talk. Let's have coffee together. All of that aside from Jesus, obviously we believe that Jesus, not a product, but Jesus has improved, I pray. You've experienced the ways that Jesus can transform our lives. It's easy for us to share something that has impacted our lives for the better, right? No matter what it is, if something has impacted your life in a positive way, there's this natural desire within you to share that thing with others. And so imagine just how easily the message of Jesus as the arriving Messiah and his kingdom would have spread, not only naturally, but supernaturally by the power of the Holy Spirit as he amplified both the message of transmission and transformation. And we remember in the very beginning, Jesus said to all of his followers in Acts, we're losing some enthusiasm, that's okay. Acts 1, chapter 1, verse 8, Jesus said to his followers, "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth." And it continues today. And I pray that we will continue to be those who are and who are becoming excited about sharing the healing presence of Jesus with others as we abide in the power of his Spirit. Now, as we ended last week, Paul had just spoken one last challenging phrase to those Jewish leaders in Rome who were curious to learn more about this way of these Jesus followers. They needed to be aware that this message of salvation, of healing from God, was now being sent out among the Gentiles because they were ready to listen. And we were challenged last week, and hopefully we'll continue to hear the challenge this week even. Are we those who are ready to listen as Paul declared us to be? And so let's turn now again to those words and including the final words from the book of Acts. There we go. To see how Luke closes his story. Would you stand as we read these last few verses together? Luke writes, "Let it be known to you then that this salvation of God has been sent to the Gentiles. They will listen." Verse 29, "When he said these words, the Jews departed and had a great dispute among themselves. He lived there 2 whole years at his own expense and welcomed all who came to him, proclaiming the kingdom of God and teaching about the Lord Jesus Christ with all boldness and without hindrance." Lord Jesus, we are thankful for your word. We're thankful for the ways you desire to speak to our hearts, and we desire to be those who are listening this morning. Would you come and open your word to our hearts and open our hearts to your word? In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. You may notice a note in some of your Bibles around verse 29. If you have a King James Version or even New King James, as we saw, it might just seem like any other verse, but we've discovered some more ancient copies of Scripture in the original language since the 1600s, and all of those older copies are actually missing verse 29, which leads us to believe that this verse was added later on to kind of explain what was going on and close that scene out. But either way, it agrees with what we read happening in those earlier moments, that some of the Jewish leaders became believers of Jesus and became followers of the way of Jesus' followers, while some of them refused to believe. And it became a strong source of disagreement within their community. And we were reminded last week as well that whenever someone begins to follow Jesus, it changes their lives. And it changes their homes. And so, especially if it's someone who has influence or someone who has power or authority, it can ripple out in waves into larger communities. And so here's another question I want us to honestly ask ourselves. What is it about the patterns of our lives and the values seen in our homes that declares our belief in Jesus as the Messiah? What would be different about our lives? What would be different about the shape of our homes if we were not followers of Jesus, but still just good people? Because there should be some conflict between what our lives would be like without Jesus and the lives that we are living today because of His Spirit and His kingdom coming on earth and in our homes as it is in heaven. Where might God desire to bring redemptive conflict? Where might the kingdom of Jesus challenge the values and the patterns currently being lived out in our lives or in our homes? As the entire book of Acts, here, I'm not just acting, I know. As the entire book of Acts comes to an end, we have a very brief summary statement of how Paul spends the next 2 years. He's able to dwell there 2 more years at his own expense. The word there literally meaning his own rented dwelling. Now, I'm guessing he wasn't able to start up his tent making or leather working business again while under house arrest, although maybe he was able to do some repairs for people and earn some sort of income. But this probably includes the support of the church there in Rome and also the support, the donations that maybe were sent on his behalf. We believe that Paul wrote a lot of letters during his various imprisonments. And it's likely that he wrote the book of Philippians during these 2 years particularly. And in Philippians 4, verse 18, Paul writes, I have been paid in full and have more than enough. I am fully satisfied now that I've received from Epaphroditus the gifts you sent, a fragrant offering, a sacrifice acceptable and pleasing to God. And so Paul's needs were provided for even in these very difficult circumstances. Now, we need to be careful, though, because this is not a promise that God will always pay the financial bills of all believers at all times, unfortunately. But it is a reminder that all resources are within God's ability to use. And so our trust is always well placed in Him. I love telling the story of how God has met many of our needs and provided for us. We've been through some really weird and hard seasons, both in being in need or putting ourselves in need so that we could live overseas and serve in the field. In my college years, I took on a whole lot of really foolish debt in order to pursue a path that I believed was being faithful to God's call in my life. And then years later, in 2007, I was able to be a contestant on Wheel of Fortune, where I won just enough money to get out from underneath that exact amount of debt. Freedom from that debt then allowed our family to serve overseas as missionaries. And what I like to say is, don't foolishly assume that God will pay all of your bills, but do know that God has resources we may never even imagine Him using to meet our needs, because He's aware of them. And so as we look back on the summary of these 2 years of Paul's life, it's easy for us to see the goodness of God and how God is able to move resources around to strategically accomplish His purposes. I mean, think about the summary that Luke gives here is that Paul received and welcomed all who came to him. We don't know how many of those who came to him were supporters like Epaphroditus was, or how many of those were just curious visitors, or how many of those were actually just enemies of Paul, people who wanted to challenge what he was about or what he was doing. And Paul welcomed all who came to him. and the amount of individuals that Paul was able to speak to while he lived there in Rome and share the good news with right there in the heart of the Roman Empire is more than we will ever know. We know that people from all over the known world were constantly coming and going from this city, as well as believers that Paul had invested in and helped minister to previously. It was such a great and strategic location for someone who had actually met with the resurrected Jesus along the road and also was well-versed in the ways and the teachings of Judaism that was now growing out to do what God was doing through Jesus and his followers. Not to mention the fact that while Paul was under house arrest in Rome, likely meant that he was under the protection of Roman guards, with many Jewish leaders back in Jerusalem who we saw as we read through the scriptures wanted to set up an ambush to have him killed. Those same leaders were in many cities, right? And probably wanted to do anything they could to silence Paul. And he had protection through this entire 2 years of writing and serving from Rome. Now, this may have provided him protection to write all those letters that he was able to write as he was there in Rome. And then Luke summarizes the message that Paul continued to share with anyone who would come. And I want us to focus on those final words as a foundation as we move forward together as Mattis Avenue Free Methodist Church, as we want to continue that work of the Holy Spirit today. And the first thing I want us to know is that Paul was proclaiming, Paul was teaching or heralding the kingdom of God. Now, I'm going to say this often, and I've said it often enough already that you can probably already fill out the next Mad Lib in your note sheet, right? That the kingdom of God is everywhere the reign and rule of God exists. That Paul was not talking about heaven in these moments. He wasn't telling people that there was a hope that someday they might escape suffering and live in a place of eternal blessing. That the good and important news that Paul was imprisoned for sharing, and it wasn't Caesar, and it wasn't Jerusalem, and it wasn't Judaism, it was God's kingdom. And it was Jesus as Lord. And in fact, God had always intended his reign and his rule to arrive in this way. And now as his body together, we were invited to join that reign and rule by the way that we live. And the second thing that Paul shared with all who would come to him are teachings about the Lord Jesus Christ. And this is intimately connected to the kingdom itself, as this was not just Jesus who was a man who died and was resurrected. This Jesus is the Christ, which means the anointed one, to the Messiah, to the Jewish people that they've long awaited for. And Jesus is also the Lord. Right? That Jesus is the name to whom all things belong. He's not just another prophet. He's just not just another good person who tells us some great things about God. Jesus literally is God in the flesh. Still today, right? God in flesh. And he's literally the one through whom all things have been created and who now holds supremacy over all that was and all that is and all that will be. And so he's been given the throne over all heaven and all earth. And it's through Jesus that the authority and the reign of God is revealed still. Now, I know that there are smaller groups today that interpret the end times in a particular way, such that there are some who are looking forward to a 1,000-year literal reign where they believe that believers will join with Jesus, who will sit on a literal throne somewhere in our world. Revelation 20, verse 6 says, "Blessed and holy are those who share in the first resurrection. Over these, the second death has no power. But they will be priests of God and of Christ, and they will reign with him 1,000 years. Now, I believe that anytime we see the number 1,000 in Scripture, it usually means a large, immeasurable amount. Just like in Deuteronomy 7, verse 9, when God is faithful to 1,000 generations, Now, we don't believe that God is counting out 1,000 generations before he then will cease to be faithful. In the same sense, then, the 1,000-year rule of Christ in Revelation represents a large, immeasurable amount of years, or as some have said, an age, where Jesus is on the throne and his reign and his rule is shared by his followers. This goes well with Paul's understanding as he writes to the church in Ephesus. I put a bunch of these scriptures there in your Mad Lib so you can look them up later. But God put his power to work in Christ when he raised him up from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places. That's Ephesians 1:20. And then Ephesians 2:6. And raised us up with him and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. So by the Holy Spirit, we are now lifted up and awakened and aroused to literally reign with Jesus where God exists fully. But let's be careful not to become too confident in our position or our abilities and our status. In that same passage in the book of Ephesians, Paul writes, "All of us once lived among them in the passions of our flesh, doing the will of flesh and our senses. And we were by nature children of anger, like everyone else. But God, who is rich in mercy, out of the great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead, through the ways that we fall short, made us alive together with Christ. By grace, you have been saved." We have been saved. And so even as we share in the reign and the rule of God revealed in Jesus, it's by the grace of God who is rich in mercy and he loves us. Not only loves us, he loved us even when we were living apart from or against him. Which was a good reminder for some of us this morning. Even if you're here this morning, still turned away from or turned against or not fully convinced of what God has done or is doing in Jesus, his grace has reached and is reaching out to us in his love, inviting us to take a seat at the table of his mercy. We don't have to understand it. We don't have to earn it. We definitely can't earn it, even if we wanted to try. We're simply invited to respond by receiving it as his beloved children. And this also allows us to approach others with the same loving grace that we have been approached by God. This allows us to forgive as we've been forgiven. We know that studies have shown, especially recently, that over and over, the ways that living in unforgiveness can cause not only spiritual impacts, but long-term physical impacts on our bodies. Not just spiritual things that happen, but actual physical things that happen to us when we live in unforgiveness, when we live in anger toward others. And again, that fits well with a belief that salvation is not just something spiritual that happens down the road, but includes an aspect of healing for eternity that begins in so many ways right here and right now. And so the question that God is asking us again this morning, the question that God asks us every time we come into his presence is, do you want to be healed? Do you want to be healed of your anger? Do you want to be healed of your unforgiveness? Do you want to be healed even in the areas you're not quite sure you need healing yet? And the same heart is seen in the final two important words that I want to point out from Paul's 2 years in Rome, that he proclaimed all of these things first with boldness. And the word here literally means saying everything. There was nothing that Paul held back as he was unashamed of either his own identity, his own past, and unashamed of what God desired from him or from his people. For some of us, that's really, really hard to imagine. because we know our pasts. Either the ways we were hurt or maybe the hurtful ways that we have lived toward others. For some of us this morning, it may not even all be in the past. We can think of the ways that we've been hurtful to others this week, or ways that we have been hurt by others this week or this morning. And we may feel the shame of even imagining sharing some of those things out loud. And this is why we believe so strongly in things like discipleship bands. We've talked about it. I'll continue talking about it because we believe it's part of our DNA. And it's not in your bulletin this week, but you can write it down if you want to. Discipleshipbands.com as the website. If you've ever tried one before, if you've ever wanted to try one, this summer might be a really good time to take on the challenge of experimenting, saying, what could this do for my life, for my heart, for my relationships? Or maybe you've been in one before, but now seems like it might be a really good time to kind of renew the practice in a different way or with others. I want you to mark your calendars if you have any interest at all for May 18th. May 18th. On May 18th, after the morning service, we're going to have a discipleship banding event where we talk about bands a little bit, where we invite anybody who's interested to join a band, to be able to join one if you haven't yet. In these discipleship band groups, we practice truth-telling. We call it confession in some ways. But we enter into prayerful relationships with a few others, sharing how we see the world and why we see it that way, speaking openly about our faults for the purposes of being forgiven, for the purposes of being loved and healing that Jesus makes possible. In truth-telling together, we believe that healing love breaks the power, breaks the isolating power of shame. Because it's one thing to believe that Jesus loves me. We sang that together last week, right? Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. It's one thing to believe that, but it's another thing, it's a transforming experience to actually experience his love tangibly through another image bearer, another person made in God's image who is living out his Spirit's activity in this world. And these regular experiences of being known fully, of being loved, of being forgiven, strengthens our attachment love with God in ways that his Spirit uses to breathe new creation life, both into us and out from us for his purposes. And we practice being known in these moments of banding together for discipleship in ways that shape us for a kingdom one day where all will be known, all will be made known, all will be revealed in Jesus, in the light of Jesus. We will know one another fully. And so we begin practicing for that kind of living here and now. And so by the Holy Spirit, Paul was living in that same direction in Rome for those 2 years. This is why I have the really bad grammar in the title of our message this morning, of becoming boldness. Because we are not just becoming bold. We're not just going to be described as people who are bold, but we are literally putting on flesh to this concept that isn't always enfleshed. To become the literal boldness of the kingdom of God arriving in our world for his purposes of love. And the final word that Luke gives us in this scripture today is unhindered. The book of Acts has been all about, The book of Acts has been all about discovering those things or those places where the good news of God's kingdom was being hindered. You think about all the places that we watched Paul go, all the places that Paul went, discovering what would be hindering the good news of Jesus, the healing desires of the kingdom of God, and addressing those things specifically. All throughout Scripture, we have all these other books and letters that were written by Paul as he travels to these places and says, here's what I see hindering the healing presence of the kingdom of God. And I want you to address it, because if you address it, if you drag it out into the open and say, this is what's hindering the healing work that God desires, then we can address it. You can be forgiven. You can be loved. You can be challenged to become what God is calling you to be, to set free for the healing purposes of Jesus. Here we go. Because in order to know what's hindering the healing desired by God in our lives, it requires speaking openly about the things that we would rather not talk about. Now, that doesn't mean that we're going to take a microphone right now and pass it around the congregation so that everyone can share their deepest, darkest secrets. But it does mean that we become those, and we aim to be those who are honestly exploring and finding places that we can confess, that we can bring out into the light. Where has the brokenness of our world impacted your life? Where does your hurt impact the way that you even see the world? Where are you experiencing the loneliness of disconnection or the isolation that's caused by our self-centered world? Where are you in need of hope? Where are your relationships in need of reconciliation and redemption? I pray that we can get to the point where we're sharing some of these things together. And I pray that we will be the kind of community where we can invite the light of Christ to shine in the darkness, into all the corners of our lives, that the world would be comfortable letting us leave in the shadows. Because God is so interested, God is so concerned, God is so excited and delighted to bring His light into every area of who we are and who we're becoming. When we can share and talk about these things, we welcome the forgiveness of God. We welcome the love of God, and we experience real healing in these areas that will proclaim a powerful gospel message to a world that is in need of healing salvation. So what I want to do this morning, and this may get uncomfortable for some of us, and that's good probably, I want to open the altars. Of course, the altars are always open. We try to say that on a regular basis, but I want to open them on purpose this morning as we get ready to close in song. The altars are open as we prepare to receive communion here together in a moment. What I want us to do is ask you if you will confess to God. To confess to God. That's the first step. We're not asking you to confess to each other yet, although we believe in that. We want to be doing that. But first, I want you to be willing to confess to God. And I want you to know that confession is not just about sin either. Some of us have always imagined confession being about coming and making a list of all the sins that we have, all the ways that we offend God. But confession is not focusing on sin, but on truth-telling. It's saying, God, here's something I notice about myself that I haven't really shared with others. Here's an area of pain that needs healing. Jesus, will you see me this morning? Here's an area of my home or my family that needs new life. Holy Spirit, will you come and will you breathe on us anew? Confession is coming and saying, here's an area of my own heart that I'm not actually familiar with, but I want to know how your lordship arrives even here. Asking in prayer, Father, can you come and love me in this new area? And if you don't want to come alone this morning, it's always okay to just grab somebody nearby and just ask them, would you come down to the altar with me? As we come and we tell the truth to God about who we are, about the condition of our hearts, about the things in life that we want to bring to Him this morning, just as a way of saying, this is who I think I am. Would you help me to understand? Because being able to tell the truth about ourselves and about our world by the Holy Spirit is foundational to living beyond the act, to not just act in this thing that God is doing. We need to be able to tell the truth, to be able to say to God boldly and without any hindrance, this is the condition of my heart, or this is what I don't understand about my own heart. Before we can boldly join the work of God out in the world, we need to allow the unhindered work of His Spirit in our hearts. And so as we respond in song this morning, the altars are going to be open. This is not a moment of guilt. We're not going to delay it or drag it out, but it's an invitation to come unhindered into the presence of a God who invites us to come as He pours out His love to His children. Let's sing together, "I Need Thee."